"Listen," said Harry, taking advantage of the knight's exhaustion. "We're looking for the North Tower. You don't know the way, do you?"
"A quest!"
The knight's rage seemed to vanish instantly. He clanked to his feet and shouted, "Come, follow me, dear friends, and we shall find our goal, or else shall perish bravely in the charge." He gave the sword another fruitless tug, tried and failed to mount the fat pony, and cried, "On foot, then, good sirs and gentle lady! On! On!" And he ran, clanking loudly, into the left-hand side of the frame, and out of sight. They hurried after him along the corridor, following the sound of his armour. Every now and then they spotted him running through a picture ahead.
"Be of stout heart! The worst is yet to come!"
yelled the knight, and they saw him reappear in front of an alarmed group of women in crinolines, whose picture hung on the wall of a narrow spiral staircase. Puffing loudly, Harry, Ron, and Hermione climbed the tightly spiralling steps, getting dizzier and dizzier, until at last they heard the murmur of voices above them, and knew they had reached the classroom.
"Farewell!"
cried the knight, popping his head into a painting of some sinister-looking monks.
"Farewell, my comrades in arms! If ever you have need of noble heart and steely sinew, call upon Sir Cadogan."
"Yeah, we'll call you," muttered Ron as the knight disappeared. "If we ever need someone mental."
They climbed the last few steps and emerged onto a tiny landing where most of the class was already assembled. There were no doors off this landing. Ron nudged Harry and pointed at the ceiling, where there was a circular trap-door with a brass plaque on it. "Sybil Trelawney, Divination Teacher," Harry read. "How are we supposed to get up there?" As though in answer to his question, the trap-door suddenly opened, and a silvery ladder descended right at Harry's feet. Everyone went quiet.
"After you," said Ron, grinning.
So Harry climbed the ladder first. He emerged into the strangest-looking classroom he had ever seen. In fact, it didn't look like a classroom at all, more like a cross between someone's attic and an old-fashioned tea-shop. At least 20 small circular tables were crammed inside it, all surrounded by chintz armchairs and fat little puffs. Everything was lit with a dim crimson light. The curtains at the windows were all closed, and the many lamps were draped with dark red scarves. It was stiflingly warm, and the fire which was burning under the crowded mantelpiece was giving off a heavy, sickly sort of perfume as it heated a large copper kettle. The shelves running around the circular walls were crammed with dusty-looking feathers, stubs of candles, many packs of tattered playing cards, countless silvery crystal balls, and a huge array of teacups. Ron appeared at Harry's shoulder as the class assembled around them, all talking in whispers. "Where is she?" Ron said. A voice came suddenly out of the shadows, a soft, misty sort of voice. "Welcome," it said. "How nice to see you in the physical world at last." Harry's immediate impression was of a large, glittering insect. Professor Trelawney moved into the firelight, and they saw that she was very thin. Her large glasses magnified her eyes to several times their natural size, and she was draped in a gauzy, spangled shawl. Innumerable chains and beads hung around her spindly neck, and her arms and hands were encrusted with bangles and rings. "Sit, my children, sit," she said, and they all climbed awkwardly into armchairs or sank onto puffs. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat themselves around the same round table. "Welcome to divination," said Professor Trelawney, who had seated herself in a winged armchair in front of the fire. "My name is Professor Trelawney. You may not have seen me before. I find that descending too often into the hustle and bustle of the main school clouds my inner eye." Nobody said anything in answer to this extraordinary pronouncement. Professor Trelawney delicately rearranged her shawl and continued, "So you have chosen to study divination, the most difficult of all magical arts. I must warn you at the outset that if you do not have the sight, there is very little I will be able to teach you. Books can take you only so far in this field."
At these words, both Harry and Ron glanced, grinning, at Hermione, who looked startled at the news that books wouldn't be much help in this subject.
"Many witches and wizards, talented though they are in the area of loud bangs and smells and sudden disappearings, are yet unable to penetrate the veiled mysteries of the future," Professor Trelawney went on, her enormous, gleaming eyes moving from face to nervous face. "It is a gift granted to few. You, boy," she said suddenly to Neville, who almost toppled off his pouf, "is your grandmother well?"
I think so," said Neville, tremulously.
"I wouldn't be so sure if I were you, dear," said Professor Trelawney, the firelight glinting on her long emerald earrings. Neville gulped. Professor Trelawney continued placidly, "We will be covering the basic methods of divination this year. The first term will be devoted to reading the tea leaves. Next term we shall progress to palmistry. By the way, my dear," she shot suddenly at Parvati Patil, "beware a red-haired man."
Parvati gave a startled look at Ron, who was right behind her, and edged her chair away from him.
"In the summer term," Professor Trelawney went on, "we shall progress to the crystal ball, if we have finished with fire omens, that is. Unfortunately, classes will be disrupted in February by a nasty bout of flu. I myself will lose my voice, and around Easter one of our number will leave us for ever."
A very tense silence followed this pronouncement, but Professor Trelawney seemed unaware of it.
"I wonder, dear," she said to Lavender Brown, who was nearest and shrank back in her chair, "if you could pass me the largest silver teapot."
Lavender, looking relieved, stood up, took an enormous teapot from the shelf, and put it down on the table in front of Professor Trelawney.
"Thank you, my dear. Incidentally, that thing you are dreading, it will happen on Friday the 16th of October."
Lavender trembled.
"Now, I want you all to divide into pairs. Collect a teacup from the shelf, come to me, and I will fill it. Then sit down and drink. Drink until only the dregs remain. Swill these around the cup 3 times with the left hand, then turn the cup upside down on its saucer. Wait for the last of the tea to drain away, then give your cup to your partner to read. You will interpret the patterns using pages 5 and 6 of Unfogging the Future. I shall move among you, helping and instructing. Oh, and dear," she caught Neville by the arm as he made to stand up, "after you've broken your first cup, would you be so kind as to select one of the blue-patterned ones? I'm rather attached to the pink."
Sure enough, Neville had no sooner reached the shelf of teacups when there was a tinkle of breaking china. Professor Trelawney swept over to him, holding a dustpan and brush, and said,
"One of the blue ones, then, dear, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you."
When Harry and Ron had had their teacups filled, they went back to their table and tried to drink the scalding tea quickly. They swilled the dregs around as Professor Trelawney had instructed, then drained the cups and swapped them.